Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 112. God's word comes to you under the heading, Love Your Neighbor, Protect His Reputation. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in Law 6, God requires that you preserve life. But God is not only concerned about preserving life. God is concerned that you live a good quality life. So in Law 7, God requires a pure life. But God is not only concerned about you living a pure life. So in Law 8, God requires that you live a satisfied life. And to add to all those requirements concerning your life today, you will see in Law 9 that God requires that you live a reputable life, both you and your neighbor. And our headings today in understanding the need for protecting the reputation of yourself and others, our headings will be prohibited things in Law 9, and then second, prescribed things in Law 9. And our goals are that you will learn that a lying lip is an abomination to the Lord because it hurts souls and humiliates Christ. And that you will learn instead to speak truth to honor Christ and help your brother. You will honor Christ and help your brother. Question 112. What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? Together, God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. First, and of course you know the commandment, right? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So what are prohibited things in Law 9? Well, the source of lying is not your lips. You ever hear about lying lips? Well, the reality is you should go farther back and you can say lying hearts, because the source of lying is in your heart. Specifically, then, you must watch out for hatred and watch out for jealousy, two of the common causes for lying. Look at how this is described for us in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, together. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They lied, and they both died as a result of their lies. But it was what Peter said to Ananias that was important. Satan has filled your heart, and so you lied. What's in the heart is what comes to the outside. Second, God forbids lying words, especially in legal situations, as in a court. In other words, lying in a court is a worse sin because a vow is involved. Now, all lies are wrong. But when you lie in a court, it's a worse type of lie because you have specially called God to witness. And lying is such a terrible sin that God links it with the worst sins and the worst judgments imaginable. Look at these words. Let these shock you. We've already looked at Proverbs and I mentioned that. But look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Together, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Most people will think must be homosexuality or murder or something. God says liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Together, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. A lie is much more. It pierces, it hurts, it kills. Romans 1:28, together, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. A liar deserves to die. That's how bad a lie is. And then lying to those who are close to you, like if a child lies to her parents, it's worse. Or a spouse lying to his spouse or her spouse. Why is that worse? Because those are the people you should love the most. And those are the people you should lie to the least as a result. But remember the consequences of what happened. How Jacob lied to his father Isaac to rob Esau of the blessing. He spent 20 years running away from his brother, hiding out. And then when he's coming back, he's deathly afraid of his brother. Imagine the consequence of one lie. Remember how Naboth was murdered by Jezebel. She used two scoundrels to lie against Naboth so they could kill him. And you see what the words, what lies do. Lies kill. The Scythians would believe that if a man lied on an oath, he would lose his head. They would literally execute because they understood how serious lies were. Even pagans valued truth. So God forbids saying lies. And he especially hates when you lie against those who are close to you. Now I want you to consider some forms of lying by words that is often minimized or ignored. We know very clearly, and we teach our children that if you did something wrong, you need to admit it. Don't lie. Don't blame your brother or sister for it. But sometimes there are some things that are a little bit shady. You're not so clear. A little gray area. And you say, technically, is that a lie? And you try to work around it. Well, let's look at some of those now. God forbids you from twisting other people's words so that their intent or their meaning is changed. If you listen to politicians characterize what other politicians say, you realize how lying these people are because they try to twist the meaning or change the intention of that person. God forbids you from using part of what other people say. God forbids you from ignoring the context of what that person says. Because you might take something completely out of context. The same words can have a completely different meaning in a different setting. I thought about it recently where a U.S. Congressman was accused of being very bad because he said some girls were beautiful. Well, it depends on how that is used, isn't it? To describe girls as beautiful is by itself means nothing. And that was the context. The man was just making an observation. And instead, he's looked upon as some kind of weird pervert because of the way it's characterized, because he acknowledged that some girls were beautiful. Second, God forbids gossip. Gossip is useless talk about another person. You see, sometimes people think that gossip means it's a lie. Now, the substance of what the gossiper says could be true, but if it is unnecessary, then it is gossip. Because gossip is given with the intention to insult or embarrass someone. As one man says, a scorpion takes its poison in its tail, but the slanderer does so, or the gossip, with his tongue. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, and let's say this together. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it. Every idle word. So remember with the gossip, don't be fooled by the fact that, well, it's true. If it's unnecessary, and if you're doing it with the intention to insult or embarrass, then that is what you call gossip. Next, God forbids slander. The slanderer shows that he has adopted the devil, the chief slanderer, that's what his name means, as his father. The goal of the slanderer is to hurt someone's reputation. And when someone's reputation is hurt, he may lose business or he may lose credit to which he is due. Look how Jesus described the Jews who were following the devil, their father, the deceiver. John chapter 8, verse 44, together. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why God forbids slander, that you need to be able to guard others' reputation instead of hard work to hurt it. But there's another one that we call, it's the white-collar sin, that's often characteristic of Christians, where God forbids flattery. Flattery is often acceptable, but flattery really is a lie. And you see someone, you say, you have the best voice in the whole world. Well, you might like the person's voice, and that's fine. But flattery is really trying to tell others what they want to hear. And maybe you want to build up someone's self-esteem, but to do this is ultimately to hurt the person. Because when reality comes in and finds out that their voice sounds more like Pastor Mitchell's voice, then you realize that that's not an honest thing you were telling them. But because there's some advantage, sometimes people will lie that way. Reality is too, and you have to be careful even with your children. It's okay to encourage them and say, that's a good job, keep trying, and you can improve on that and do better, and you can encourage them that way. But if you tell them that's the best ever, and then they go in the real world and find out, well, the world doesn't think so, you're setting them up to be disappointed and become maybe crybabies. And others will use that flattery to gain a personal advantage. So when you praise your neighbor's zucchini, you're probably saying, oh, those are most wonderful. Well, where's my share? What are you going to, are you going to send some over to me? Or whatever, I like zucchinis, maybe you like something else and you want to praise that. But that's the thing you guard against, where flattery can become something used to advance yourself or to falsely raise someone's view of themselves. And then there are those white lies. Like when the phone rings and you tell your children to say that you're not at home. Well, instead, you should say, sorry, I'm busy, I can't come to the phone right now. Or sometimes I won't come to the phone right now. You don't have to lie. Speak the truth in such situations. But then the third part, we looked at you can lie, and you start lying in your heart because that's where the lies originate. And then you lie by your words, and we looked at some strange situations, unique situations. But you can also lie by your actions. And God forbids that you lie by your actions. This is in law 9. You can lie by your actions. God forbids pretending with the intent to deceive and gain some advantage. Like pretending to like someone. That's really a lie, isn't it? These are the unspoken lies, and it can be very harmful. And you can kill a man other than by cutting his throat, and so you can lie by your actions. You pretend to appreciate someone, and it's only maybe to gain a personal advantage or to make him think nicely about you. Now, I don't mean you have to be mean to all the people, but you find there are times when people will be so warm and friendly and think, oh, they must love me, and they're just doing it because they are pretending. God also forbids taking credit for another man's actions. And you know, supervisors are known for doing this. Some who like to take credit for what their employees do. That's a form of lying. So lying by action. God forbids that as well. Well, let's move to the second part now. We know what God forbids. He forbids you from lying by thought, words, and actions. But what does he want us to do? It's not all negative. Don't do, don't do, don't do. It's positively how to keep this law. For remember we say the letter is very narrow, but the spirit is extremely broad. So, law 9, what does God prescribe? First of all, God prescribes that you embrace and love truth. You embrace and love truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 6 say, and let's read together, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. If the devil knows that you reject lies and you embrace truth, and he sees you are doing that over and over again, after a while he'll give up tempting you in that area. That's how it works. But if you are indulging a lie or two, then the devil thinks, okay, I've got some opening now. They seem to like that lie. Let me see if I can use them a little bit more. But if you learn and say, no, even though there are consequences, and this is very important for the children especially to remember, you lie, you get away with it one time, you think, okay, maybe if I lie again to my parents, I can get away with it again. And then the devil starts giving you more opportunities. And before you know it, you are serving the devil and loving him. But if you make it the habit to say, no, even if I get punished by my parents, I will speak the truth. Then the devil will say, they're too hard. Let me look for somebody else who will listen to me. And you know how this works, right? You may have a love interest who might stay around for a while, but after a while, if he realizes that you don't have that interest in him, he gets the message and moves on. And that's how the devil works. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. Together, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. When you have that hatred for someone, they'll not stick around. The devil, the father of lies, if he sees you love truth, eventually he will give up on you. So embrace and love truth. That's the heart matter. Second, mean what you say, not equivocating or playing with words. Your words should match what is in your heart. Speak clearly. So if you say you're going to do or not do something for or to your children, keep that promise. Even if it causes pain, even if it causes discomfort or time or money, God expects you to do as you have promised or as you have threatened. If you don't do as you say or as you threaten, then you're lying and you're teaching your children that truth and promises don't matter. But they do. But they do. Look at Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2, and let's read them together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. You know where you start to speak the truth? In your heart. That's why you have to mean what you say. And when you promise your children, this is what will happen, and then you carry through that, they get a good sense of God's justice, that God keeps his word. Third, have the right intention when you speak. Not having your fingers crossed behind your back or having mental reservations as Roman Catholics do. They would say, I said it, but I didn't mean it, therefore it didn't really happen. The Jesuits, a branch of Roman Catholicism, they were the Roman Catholic investigators of the people who became Christians, who felt that they did not have to hold to the truth in their investigations. So they promised to do something, but they didn't do it. And it's what they argue is like they had their fingers crossed. You know, like kids do it behind their back. They make a promise, and then they said, aha, it's not valid because my fingers were crossed. And sometimes Christians want to do that as well. They make a promise without intention to fulfill them. But that's a lie. It's an intention to deceive. And God warns against that. Next, think before you speak so you don't spread lies or misinformation. That's an important thing, and it's a struggle, especially people on social media, and you have these links on Twitter and Facebook and others, that you have to be careful that you're not spreading lies or misinformation. Remember what the Bible says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. And there's so many things that look like real news, but they're fake news. And it's worth taking the time to investigate instead of simply forwarding something as fact. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, together, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Second, then God prescribes that you not just have the right heart in keeping this command, number 9. God requires that you speak the truth when it is due. And we'll talk more about this. We'll look at the explanation next week of when God purposely deceived people and told others to do so. But here we are called to speak the truth when it is due to that person. Especially to protect the reputation and to preserve the lives of your neighbor, and especially in a court of law. But if you have to give testimony against someone, you have to make sure that you fully have the facts before you speak. But when you do speak, you speak the truth in gentleness and meekness, even when it might hurt the other person. For example, you might have to put your arms around someone if you're going to tell them that their relative died. You don't hide that fact from them. And sometimes it's not an easy thing. I watched a student of mine being buried this past week, 40 years old, little babies, one of them about 8 months old and one of them about maybe two and a half years old. And they have to explain to the baby that dad is there and he's not coming back. It's not easy to do. But you speak the truth. You do the best you can. You do it with love. You don't hide that fact from those you are caring. Or maybe if someone were going to die and they ask you, am I going to die? What do you do? Say, no, it'll be okay. No, you have to speak the truth to him, but speak it in love. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15 says together, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. You be effective by the care you use in speaking. Next, speak the truth so that it will preserve the spiritual lives of those in sin and darkness. And of course, you must know the truth if you're going to speak it. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 now together. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. You have to know the truth to speak the truth. You have to know the truth of salvation. I still remember in one of our Christian-Muslim discussions where a Muslim man asked, well, how are people saved in the Old Testament? And one Christian man very confidently stood up and said, I'll answer this one. And he said, well, in the New Testament, we're saved by believing in Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins. In the Old Testament, they were saved by doing their best to keep the law. I almost fell through my chair that somehow they thought that you could be saved by keeping the law. And he spoke this to the Muslims, and I thought, that's the last thing I needed anyone to say here. Because now I'm going to have to say, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. And he was very confident about it, but he had no clue. Then we have to explain, had to explain that, why that was not what the Bible teaches. If you don't have the knowledge of the truth that God requires, which can lead to the salvation and sanctification of others, you're like the Old Testament man with a stone in his hand, ready to stone to execute the passerby. But if you have the word of life that you can speak, that you will see that man rescued from the condemnation of death and given eternal life, your tongue will become like a tree of life. That's why you need to know the truth and speak the truth. Proverbs 22:12 together. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. The Lord loves when you tell others the gospel, the full gospel. Ephesians 4:25 together. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You should also know that there are serious consequences for lying. And to emphasize the consequences of refusing to speak the truth, a liar was severely punished by God, sometimes with the death penalty. Really? Is that bad? Yes. The liar got the same penalty as the innocent accused could have gotten because of the testimony of the liar. Look at how it is that said to us in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. Together, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. And the punishment was death, depending on the crime he was giving testimony to, up to death. But remember Peter before the Sanhedrin, when they said, stop preaching in this name. And he said, well, should we obey God or man? You judge. What do you think we're going to do? Or the Hebrew boys before Nebuchadnezzar, they said, you know, we've got to obey God. And if we die, we die. But God is able to deliver us as well. We're not going to stop and change our ways on account of you. Or Jonah, before the murderous Assyrians, he didn't say, well, look, those people might kill me. Let me kind of change the message. Let me water it down and say, all religions are equal, and here's what we believe. No, he had to go and say, unless you change your way of life, God's going to kill all of you. If they did not speak the truth, they would have denied Christ and denied others from hearing the gospel. Positively, consider the great blessings that come from speaking the truth. How men are saved. Oh, some will not like you. You've heard that already today when you confront them in their lives. People would rather you support them. Say what they want. They want you to say what they want to hear. And sometimes people are very good at scratching the heads of someone doing wrong. You've seen how many politicians have fallen. And people knew that these people were bad and they hid that fact from others. They just told the politicians what they wanted to hear. If they had only confronted those people, they might have saved them. They might have changed their behavior. They might have repented of their sins. That's why speaking the truth is so important. But there are a couple of additional things before we conclude. Some additional issues with speaking the truth. First of all, while ordinarily withholding the truth is considered a lie, sometimes you don't have to speak the truth. You think, wait a minute, what's going on? Pastor says you don't have to speak the truth. Well, some people are not entitled to that truth. You don't have to tell someone your PIN number for your bank card. If they say, what's your PIN number? Should you say, well, I'm so spiritual, I will tell you. 6871. No, you don't have to tell them. In fact, you can tell them 6871 and it could be something else. They're not entitled to that information. Withholding the truth here is a good act. And in fact, as you will see next week, it's an act of faith. And you don't have to tell anyone how much money you have in the bank. If someone says, how much money do you have in the bank? You say, well, I must always speak the truth, and therefore I will say whatever number you've got in the bank. No, you don't tell them that. Withholding the truth might be considered a lie, but that's a good thing to do. It's none of their business. Second, be selfless in speaking the truth. Selfless. Selfishness kills truth-telling. And we're trained today to not speak up unless we're forced to speak up. Men have become so preoccupied with pursuing their own personal pleasure that they don't bother to be a witness or speak the truth, especially to the police. You know what? One of the biggest problems of the police is that people who have seen a crime don't speak up because they don't want to be bothered. You see, living as a Christian means that you have an obligation to your society. That's how you honor Christ. You may not say, well, I don't want to get involved. That can be a problem for me. Of course it can be a problem for you, but that's what living for Christ means. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes there are risks involved. But you have an obligation to speak the truth. That's what I mean by being selfless. You see, a man can be hurt by silence just as much as he's hurt by slander. David understood this well when he explained it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Psalm 15 that we looked at above, that we've already read. So you have an obligation to speak up. Speak up for babies. You're not going to be popular in Canada speaking up for babies when our Prime Minister insists on sending millions of dollars overseas for the express purpose of abortions. But you need to speak up for them. Don't hurt people by your silence. Speak the truth about perversions. Learn the statistics. Learn what happens for people who are living homosexual lifestyles so you can speak and show the danger. When you consider the lifestyle and the lifespan, for example, of a homosexual person. Speak against the lies of the evolutionist. If you've got all those videos upstairs in the library, books that are available that you can learn about the foolishness of evolution, take the time to learn so you can speak with knowledge. Speak up against humanism and secularism. Know truth so you can speak the truth. And a final thought, not all lying is sin. Just like killing sometimes is honorable. If you're going to protect innocent life, someone is threatening your family. If you kill that person, that's not considered a sin. The person might be dead, but God doesn't see it as a sin. And similarly, you will find that there are times, and we will look at this in more detail, Lord willing, there are some times when, just like not all killing is murder, so when not all lying is sin or bearing false witness. Right? Just like I've talked about the idea of you might withhold the knowledge of how much money you have in the bank or what your PIN number is. Withholding is considered wrong generally, but in that case, it's a good thing to do. So we want to draw the distinction between what is the obligation and that you understand the scope of the law and not be a slave to the letter of the law. Let's conclude. Love truth, speak truth, confess truth, promote truth, and defend truth. Know that lying takes many prisoners, but when you speak the truth, you set men free from false accusations. You may cause the wicked to be punished rightfully. You may preserve other people's reputations and even their lives. Most of all, when you speak the truth, which is there is salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you can set men free from hopelessness so they can properly glorify the Lord. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are God's child, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Reflect Him. You reflect Him by spreading the truth of the gospel so men can be rescued from sin and misery. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Oh, you've been instructed about telling the truth about where you've been and what you've done and how to fix problems. But this is the biggest truth of all, that Jesus came to die for sinners. But what about truth in your daily lives? You have to speak about Jesus. You have to speak about salvation. But don't forget. Don't forget to tell the medical ethicist who says that the unborn baby is not a human. Be ready to tell him that he's speaking a lie from the devil's bowels. Tell the mother who lies to her husband to protect her children that she's leading them to hell. Tell the lady who lies in order to advance her job that she's imitating the snake's child. Tell the doctor who gives false testimony in court for money that he will have to answer to a higher court on judgment day. Tell your professor in university that self-love is sin and that he must love God and man instead, and teach his students to do so. See, truth-telling is a challenge. But I hope you will be able to do so with courage and love. That's what Jesus gave to you. He restored your ability to obey Him. Finally, if you're not a Christian, you've heard that God considers lying one of the worst sins. Sins deserve death and hell. If, however, you claim Christ's perfect obedience as your obedience, he never told a lie, and his death as punishment for your sins, he took the punishment for when sinners lied, then you can leave this building a brand new man or a brand new woman. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words to us today. We pray, Father, that you would guard our lips, that we will not lie, rather that we will know, believe, speak, and promote the telling of truth, the chief of which is that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, the only one who could do that. And may we tell that truth to others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.